The text for the sermon this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul defends himself and his ministry from the attacks of false teachers who sought to discredit him as a man and also to discredit his ministry of preaching and teaching as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul shows that the very pretext the false teachers were pleading why people should despise the gospel actually makes the gospel glorious rather than bring any real contempt upon it. Here in this verse, the Apostle Paul calls all these things that bring the world's scorn upon him the dying of the Lord Jesus. Through this suffering, the Lord was preparing Paul to share in Jesus' blessed resurrection from the dead as the first fruits of those who sleep. The world says that the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ deserve public disgrace and shame. Yet the sufferings of the Lord Jesus have more honor with God and all the triumphs of the greatest generals and all the pomp of kings. We must also look at the final outcome. We suffer with Christ in order that we may be glorified together with Him. In this verse, the Lord rebukes those who opposed Paul and yet boasted in their own fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord also warns the Corinthians and us, you and me, not to despise Paul's poor and lowly, humble appearance and thereby insult the Lord Jesus Christ by taking offense at his sufferings when we should hold them in the highest honor. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul shows that although he was weak in himself and sorely tried, he has proven through the years that through it all, he can continue by the great power of Almighty God, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This is a very important truth that the Lord is stating here in this verse, because three times in verses 10, 11, and 12, he refers to the dying of the Lord Jesus, and three times he refers to the life of Christ. What does he mean by it? Always carrying about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. One obvious meaning of the words is this: Paul was daily in the peril of his life as Christ was. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. If the master was subject to deadly trials and suffering, so was the servant. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. But as with Christ, God wonderfully sustained him, and at the end delivered him by raising him from the dead. So it was true with the Apostle Paul, that God supported him, just as he had supported Christ. And God would deliver him, just as he delivered Christ. in order that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. As we reflect this morning upon this verse, there is clearly more than that obvious meaning in these words. What the Lord wrote through the Apostle Paul in verse 10 is profound. In these words, there is a world of truth. How does the dying of the Lord Jesus and the life of the Lord Jesus relate to us? First of all, the dying of the Lord Jesus, always carrying about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul lived by the faith of Christ crucified for him every single day. He trusted in the crucified Savior for pardon, for righteousness, and for salvation every day. There was a sense in which Paul exhibited faith in Christ crucified every day, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It was true, and it was evident that not only did Paul trust in the Lamb who died on Calvary's cross when the Lord saved Paul that day as he was traveling on the road to Damascus, but every day afterwards, it was evident that Paul's trust was in that Savior still. In his very person, Paul manifested faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the dying of the Lord Jesus. That is what Jesus commands us when he says to us in John chapter 14, verse 1, "You believe in God, believe also in me." That is not "believe once and for all," but in the Greek text, it is "go on believing in me. Continue believing in me." Paul's response to that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, is very much to the point here. Paul writes there, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Whenever we look at Paul, whatever situation he is in, whatever condition he is in, we see a man who is trusting in Christ and in the death which Christ endures. And so he is carrying about, as it were, in his person, by reason of his faith, the dying of the Lord Jesus. We need to do the same, because sometimes we fall into temptation and into sin. Sometimes our consciences are merciless in condemning us. Sometimes Satan takes the advantage and accuses us before God for our wrongdoing. When any of those things happen, like Paul, we must put our faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. In that way, we find pardon and we find peace. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. First of all, then, by our continued faith. Second, the words mean that each day Paul remembered Christ's death and he cherished the memory of it. And that memory affected his heart and his life. He carried about the dying of the Lord Jesus always in his memory. I think of the statement of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, where Paul declares the gospel. And he says, "I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ Jesus, or that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Hold that fast. Remember that. Never forget that. If you hold fast that word, if you remember it, and holding that word fast, it was true that Paul carried about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Before Christ died, he instituted the Lord's Supper. For what purpose? One of the purposes emphasized in Scripture is, this do in remembrance of me. We are reminded by the Word, and we are reminded by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, of the dying of the Lord Jesus. And we carry it about then in our body, in our minds, in our memory, the dying of Christ. What is the purpose of that? The purpose of it is that the remembrance will affect our hearts, lest they grow cold. And we leave our first love, as Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in the letter written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. Jesus died for us, and the remembrance of His dying will affect our lives. Since He died for us, we cannot live in sin. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ compels us, it constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's a third way in which Paul did this. He testified in his body at every opportunity, the old, old story of Jesus and His love. He was a witness to it. A living witness to the death of Christ. If He preached at Corinth, what was His sermon? He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is the gospel. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, that He preached Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He tells the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 1, that when He visited the churches in Galatia, by His preaching, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among them, or by His preaching, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among them as crucified. So vivid was His preaching that it was as if the cross of Jesus was placarded before them. And thus Paul carried about in his body, by his testimony, by his proclamation, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so must we. Because this sin-sick, this sin-troubled world needs to hear the gospel of redemption. Needs the gospel of pardon through the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, be it a minister or a Christian believer, a member of the church of the Lord Jesus, we all should be carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It is a gentle corrective to some who seem to feel that all their ministry is to protest. There's a time to protest. But the Church of Jesus Christ should not be known for always protesting against immorality or homosexuality or communism. These things are great sins, heinous sins in the sight of God. And there is a time when they must be addressed. But to think that protesting against sin is the whole of our ministry is a grave mistake. Our ministry is remedial. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, preaching the love of the Savior for sinners, the love of Christ who died to redeem us from such iniquity, to buy us back. That is the gospel. And wherever the Apostle Paul went, he carried it about with him, as must we. Fourth, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul showed in the way he lived and in the way he served that he had been purchased by Christ and that he was not his own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, Paul says, "You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In Romans chapter 14, verse 18, Paul writes the same thing. He's speaking about some who live to themselves and Christians who live to Christ. And he concludes with these words, Romans 14, verse 8, "For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead." Paul never let that fall from his mind. His life was not his own, to do what he wanted or what he willed. His life belonged by redemptive right to Jesus Christ. If we had lived in the first century and marked Paul as a man, seeing him go from here to there, in all his many journeys and travels, in all his many trials and afflictions, what would impress us about him? This man does not live for himself. This man lives for Christ. He lives for the one who loved him and bled for him. The one who paid for him to be his very own in time and in eternity. He's carrying about in his body always the dying of the Lord Jesus. So we must live as those who have been paid for, bought by the dying of Christ. So live as to manifest that. We are his, and he is ours. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Fifth, in our behavior and conduct, we show that we have imbibed the very spirit of Christ. Consider him in his dying. Consider his devoted love. Consider his complete submission. And so live. Paul did. He was devoted to Christ and to his church, just as the dying Savior was devoted to his Father in heaven and to his people. He was surrendered to pleasing the Father and blessing the people. That is what was clear in his dying. He died in love. He died wholly, completely surrendered and submitted to his mission in this world. Now turn your eyes from Christ to Paul. What do you see in the Apostle Paul? You see a man who is coerced by love. And he is totally yielded to his work as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same love and submission which was in Christ, we see in Paul. Christ set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. We see it in Paul. Resolved to maintain a witness to the end. Love, submission, carried about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Sixth, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. The apostle means that he lived enjoying the benefits of Christ in his death. He enjoyed reconciliation with God. He enjoyed the safety of his soul through the blood shed on the cross. He enjoyed a good hope through God's grace. Every day he received these benefits. Every day he showed the worth of these great blessings. Every day in his body he showed the dying of the Lord Jesus and how blessed he was by the dying of the Savior and how he would be blessed by the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a happy man. He was not doleful, melancholy, subject to bouts of great depression. He was blessed. Through the death of the Redeemer, he was blessed. And it was clear to all who heard him preach that he was blessed. And to all who saw him live, it was clear that he was blessed. He was carrying about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus as to its fruits. And lastly, he was also carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in that as the dying Lord Jesus was reconciled to death, was ready to die, fully prepared for it, not afraid of it. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, Jesus said. So the Apostle Paul was reconciled to the fact of death, like Christ in Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours, Father, be done. At Calvary, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Paul, in some poorer way, replicated that. He had the same spirit about him, the same approach to death as we see in the dying of the Lord Jesus. He was always carrying about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. The second part of this text speaks of the life of Jesus, that the life of the Lord Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The reference is to the resurrection and the life of Christ. What does he mean when he says that the life of the Lord Jesus also may be manifested in our body? He means, in the first place, that he felt the full force of this cardinal truth that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. He felt the impact of that in his person. The life of Jesus manifest in his body. And so impacting was that truth upon Paul, that at the beginning he was regenerated. He was a new creation in Jesus Christ, begotten again by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And he was justified before God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was a man who had known the full force of this great truth. Now is Christ risen from the dead. It had brought him to a new life. It had brought to him salvation. If you had ever stopped and asked Paul, what had happened to him. He would say, "Great things. I've been born again. I've been cleared in the court of heaven by the dying of the Lord Jesus." He always attributed it to that. And he always attributed it to the life of the Lord Jesus. Furthermore, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body means that Paul knew the vitality of the resurrection in his life and in his ministry. This is what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Paul knew that. There was a power outside of him, above him, beyond him, which he was able to show in times of crisis and even calamity. The power of the risen Christ gave him strength to abide, gave him strength to endure, gave him strength to persevere to the end, that the life of the Lord Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Third and last, what the apostle means here is that the risen Christ was with him. There were times when he was lonely. Times when he says himself, "No man stood with me, but all forsook me." Every minister knows that. But Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Say it in other words, Paul. The living Christ was with me. And the life of Jesus Christ was manifest at that time when I stood before Nero Caesar. When I saw the flashing of the sword of civil justice. When I looked upon the imminence of death. Jesus Christ alive was with me. And I could face that lion and answer him and defend the gospel because I was not alone. The life of Christ was manifest in my body. Christ was there to uphold me. Christ was there to encourage me. Christ was there to enable me to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold of eternal life to which I have been called. That is what Paul means. The life of Jesus. He knew Jesus alive every day. Whatever became of him, whatever overtook him, whatever he suffered in the body, the resurrected Christ was his companion. Always, everywhere, in every circumstance, he was accompanied by the one who says, "I was dead, but I am alive forevermore." And thus the life of Jesus was manifest in his body. And the life of Jesus can be manifest and must be manifest in our bodies too, and in our lives also. The dying of the Lord Jesus. The life also of Jesus. We hold these twin truths in life and forever. Without those twin truths, you will be lost forever in death and eternal destruction. Those twin truths are the only hope for sinners in this world. That is the gospel. That is the good news of salvation. That is the good news of everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the answer to all the many problems and troubles that fill this world and fill this life. Do not live another day without them. Turn to Jesus today. Repent of your sins and trust in the Savior who died and rose again and lives forever, reigning at the right hand of the Father in power and glory over all things, subduing all his enemies under his feet and saving all of his sheep, so that not one, not even the least, not even the weakest, shall be lost. Come to this Savior today and cast yourself upon his grace and his mercy and his love, and you shall be saved, both in life and in death. You too shall live forever with him in glory, world without end. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the dying of the Lord Jesus on the cross, for all that he suffered in his life here on earth. And we thank you also for the life of Jesus, his life of obedience, his resurrection from the dead. Though he was dead, he is alive forevermore. And he has the keys of Hades and of death. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto you, Father, except through him. Teach us what it means to always carry about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, in order that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our lives, in our bodies, in our words, in our thoughts. And Father, we look at this world. We see so many people hurting, stumbling, falling, being crushed and broken. We see so much that is awry, so much that is wrong. And we thank you for the dying of the Lord Jesus, and that he is alive forevermore. We thank you for the good news. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that Paul preached it. We thank you that it is written in Holy Scripture. We thank you that it is still preached today. And we thank you that all who trust in Jesus, all who believe in him, all who hear and believe the gospel, which is Christ, Christ and him crucified, Christ crucified, risen from the dead, that all who hear and believe will be saved. Lord, grant it, we pray, in a mighty way, in us, through us, and in the lives of many more, even those sheep, for you have many sheep, that you will yet call unto yourself and make a part of that one flock, that one bride of the Savior. Lord, grant it, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.